Okay, we're going to get started this evening as everybody's finding their way to their seats. Always enjoy hearing the chattering that takes place before our business meetings. You're like way too excited for a business meeting. It's just very strange. No. It's a joy, though, to have these meetings and to have people come out and recognize that this is really a family meeting that we get to have as a church. And talk about what the Lord's been doing in our midst, and especially tonight over the last year. It was really cool to be able to look through all the different reports and everything that the Lord's been doing. And so as people are finding their ways to their seats, I'm going to give a devotional. And then if we hit quorum, then we will have our business meeting. So tonight we're going to continue on in our Wednesday night study that we've been going on Wednesday nights of living faith from the book of James. And so if you have your Bible with you tonight, and I hope you do, please turn to James 1. We're going to be looking at, or start looking at, verses 9 through 11 of James 1. James 1, 9 through 11, as we consider wisdom for all of life. If you recall, this book is written by James, who's the half-brother of Jesus and the pastor of the Jerusalem church, and it's written to his congregation that had just been scattered due to persecution. And to remind us of all that we've been learning so far, I want you to place yourself in the position of one of those early church members that James would have been writing to. I want you to imagine running for your life, of being suddenly displaced, of having to uproot your family, of having to leave your job, of having to abandon everything that you've ever known immediately because society has turned against you in an instant. Imagine having to run off into the night and not even know necessarily where you're headed in that moment. Imagine finding yourself perhaps in a town that you've never been in before. You don't know anyone. Your wife and your kids are with you. You have no idea where they're going to sleep tonight or where you're going to get the next meal for them. Imagine you've gone from perhaps being financially secure to being suddenly homeless in a moment. One night you happen to stumble across another fellow church member from Jerusalem who's also running for his life. And he says, "Hey, have you read Pastor James's letter yet?" And you say, "No, life's been a little crazy lately." And they were like, "Oh, I got a copy for it. Let me read it to you. Take a look." And it begins by saying, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings." And you sit there and say, "Boy, I really miss Pastor James. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Boy, I really hate Pastor James. I mean, what in the world? My family is homeless. Their lives are threatened every day. My toddler's crying over exhaustion and an empty stomach. And I'm supposed to view all of this from a positive perspective? How on earth?" Verse 3, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." "Oh, I mean, I guess you're right, Pastor. I know that God uses hard times to reveal the genuineness of my faith, develop the endurance of my faith, and perfect the integrity of my faith. I know all of these things, but I'm having a really hard time applying all of that knowledge to the circumstances that my family is facing right now. I'm having a really hard time seeing how God's loving purpose is behind all of this." And that's why James writes verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Well, that's me. "All right, God, here I am. You said that you've got a divine perspective on all of this. Can you please show it to me? Because I am seriously doubting if there's even one at all." Verse 6, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." All right, God. "I know from your word that all things happen for your eternal glory and my eternal good. I know this, so help me to see it. Give me wisdom. My family and I have lost everything. How am I supposed to handle this? Give me your divine perspective. I need wisdom." Well, here it is. James 1, 9 through 11. "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. This is wisdom for all of life, and we'll look at it more in a moment. But first, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, which we get to gather around this evening as a church body. Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God that oversees everything that happens in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that beyond that, you walk with us through those trials and you give us wisdom for all of life. And Father, I pray that you would teach us how to look at the circumstances that we enter into in our lives from your perspective so that we might be able to demonstrate a living faith to a world that is dead in their trespasses and sins. Father, I pray that you would teach us by your Spirit through your word tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at first glance, verses 9 through 11 might seem a little out of place in James's letter so far. Up to this point, James's train of thought has been pretty easy to follow, at least I think. We should count it all joy, and we should look at all of life from God's perspective, but that's often very hard, and so we should ask God for wisdom. But then all of a sudden, James starts talking about lowly people being exalted and rich people being humbled. And if you're not ready for it, that can be pretty abrupt of a transition. But I think it all makes sense when you realize that this passage is actually an illustration of the divine perspective on trials that God gives his children when they ask for it. It's an illustration of the wisdom that James says God possesses in verse 5. How can a lowly brother boast in any type of exaltation? The answer is because he's got wisdom. And how can a rich person ever boast in any type of humiliation? It's because he's got wisdom too. He's got a divine perspective on his life. And so this passage is an excellent illustration of the divine wisdom that James has been talking about, in part because it is so immediate and applicable to our lives. I think we would all agree that some of the most frequent and difficult trials in life often involve financial fluctuations. It's often trials of poverty or trials of wealth that can lure us away from a total commitment to Jesus Christ and make us double-minded, as James warned about last time. As Jesus so famously said in the gospel, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And so if we're going to respond to the trials of loss or the trials of gain properly for the glory of God, we need wisdom to navigate those circumstances. And James wants to illustrate that for us, that God has got it. He's got wisdom for all of life. And so that's what we're going to see in the passage that's in front of us. Tonight we're going to see first in verse 9 that there is wisdom for staying positive. There's wisdom for staying positive, especially when facing financial hardship. And then next week, we're going to see, second, in verses 10 through 11, that there's wisdom for staying practical, especially when facing financial abundance. So wisdom for staying positive and wisdom for staying practical. God has got it all, wisdom for all of life. And so first, James outlines for us wisdom for staying positive. He says in verse 9, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. And notice to whom this wisdom is given. James says, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. That means the believer who is in low circumstances. This is the brother who is in low circumstances. And we know this is the case because in contrast to the rich man in verse 10, this is referring to someone who's in low financial circumstances. That's being contrasted there. So James is saying, let the poor believer or the destitute believer, the struggling and oppressed believer, let him boast in his exaltation. So here James is reminding the lowly brother, the one in a low financial estate, that he has an exalted position that he ought to be boasting in. What is that exalted position? Well, we know it's not his financial position. That is, in fact, what defines him as lowly here. In other words, James isn't teaching people that they should go around telling other people proudly, I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor, and I want you to know it. That's not what he's teaching at all. The lowly brother isn't exalted because he's lowly. No, the lowly brother is exalted because he's a brother. That's his exalted position. He's a believer who is united to Jesus Christ by faith. And that's what makes him exalted, not his poverty. James does say later in chapter 2, verse 5, that God has chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. But even there, he makes it very clear that what makes them exalted in that instance is not their poverty of finances, but it's rather their richness of faith. If you're poor in finances and poor in faith, here's a newsflash for you. You're just plain poor. But if you're poor in finances and rich in faith, then you are truly rich. What makes lowly brothers and sisters exalted is that God has chosen them to be rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, and recipients of his loving promises. That is the exalted position that lowly brothers are to boast in. Not in one's poverty of economy, but rather in one's position that you found in God's family. It doesn't matter how lowly you are in an earthly sense. If you are in Christ, James is reminding them, you're a brother. You're a brother, a member of God's family, a son of God, a joint heir with Christ. And beyond all of that, you are an eternal soul that is exalted in your union with Jesus, which is the greatest exaltation of all. If you recall, Paul says in Colossians 3:3, you have died and your life is hidden where? In Christ with God. That is the highest exaltation imaginable. We think our life is contained here in our body on earth, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can experience, but that is not true. As a believer, in some mysterious and marvelous way that I can't fully comprehend or explain, your life, believer, is kept, protected, and present right now with Christ in God. And where is Christ? He is seated at the right hand of God. Talk about an exalted position that you can rejoice in no matter what your earthly circumstances. You are literally exalted in your union with Christ. And so, James says, let the lowly brother, as you're undergoing all these persecutions, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation that there's something about your life that hasn't been touched, that can't be touched. And it's your relationship with Jesus. Look beyond your earthly circumstances and take pride in your eternal position in Christ. So James is telling his scattered, persecuted flock, while it is true that you might have to go about in this world as those described in Hebrews 11:37, in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, while it is true that you might have to wander about for a time in deserts and in mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth, though men might consider you here on earth in your poverty, the scum of all the earth, nevertheless, brothers and sisters, if you lost everything here on earth, you would never lose God's estimation of you. That by him you are counted among those of whom the world is not worthy. So boast in that exaltation. Your worth is not found in the abundance of your possessions, but in the relationship of the person that you are united to, Jesus Christ. So boast in that. You're a child of God, a sojourner on this earth, a citizen of heaven. Though others may look down on you in your humble estate, God rejoices over you with gladness and exalts over you with loud singing. And that is why your greatest pursuit, believer, because it's your greatest boast, should never be in earthly riches, but in your relationship with Jesus Christ, where is the true treasure and value lies. You have an eternal weight of glory, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, an inheritance of heavenly riches so glorious that Scripture teaches us these slight momentary afflictions can't even be compared next to it. That's wisdom for staying positive. And Pastor James reminds his persecuted church of that truth. James is telling them who are suffering the loss of hearth and home, keep a divine perspective in this moment, and in the midst of this trial, get wisdom and keep your eyes on Christ. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. What a reminder for all of us tonight that even if life strips us of all physical or material stability, even if right now your earthly circumstances are crazy, we can still find unchanging security in the promises of God and our unchanging relationship with him. Though others may seek to measure our worth by earthly standards, we can look through the lens of eternity and rejoice in the eternal love and value that God has placed in us. Brothers and sisters, we are the exalted in Christ Jesus. And in that, we should boast. This is wisdom for staying positive, and this is wisdom for all of life. And so let's thank God for giving it to us this evening as a church and pray that he might give more of it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had just for these few short moments to be reminded of some powerful truths from your word. And we thank you, Father, for your divine perspective that you give on our lives. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But for those of us who can say it is well with my soul, here is a wellspring of joy forevermore. And so, Father, we just pray that as we meet obstacles and trials of various kinds, as we even in this life suffer the slow and gradual loss of all things, as every human does, I pray, Father, that that would not discourage us, but it would cast our eyes and our minds on Christ Jesus and remind us of where our greatest treasure has always lied, in the pearl of great price, in the Savior who has come to redeem us and claims us as his own. Help us, Father, to rejoice in that truth as your people tonight and boast in the exaltation we found in Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.